Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. We all support Ukraine in their war with Russia, and Europe is supporting Ukraine too. However, in sharp contrast to the more than $50 billion in aid we've pledged to Ukraine, the European Union has provided roughly $2.1 billion in military aid for a conflict that far more directly implicates their security interests than ours. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Skip, have you done any push-ups today?
Not today, but it's still early. I'll get to it. And you know, when we're done recording here, I'm going to grab my two boys and we're running out to do a karate practice. I can't remember if I told you this, but we've been taking karate together for going on 3 years now. And yes, I am the oldest student in the class.
And have either of your two boys put you on the ground?
Not without getting grounded.
Okay, who do we have for you today? Under the comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the shootings in schools and other places. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. First, retired Lieutenant General Rod Bishop will discuss STARS. That has to do with the fight against racism and radicalism in our military. Then author Mark Hager will discuss D-Day, the invasion of Europe in World War II. Last Monday was the 77th anniversary of that great battle. And Mike LaMonica will orient us on the Combat Control Foundation.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We do welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Well, now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom, and we'll start with the news, of course. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Well, on Ukraine's battlefields, the simple act of powering up a cell phone can beckon a rain of deathly skyfall. Artillery, radar, and remote controls for unmanned aerial vehicles may also invite fiery shrapnel showers. This is electronic warfare, a critical but largely invisible aspect of Russia's war. Commanders largely shun discussing it, fearing they'll jeopardize operations by revealing secrets. Electronic warfare technology targets communications, navigation, and guidance systems to locate, blind, and deceive the enemy and direct lethal blows. It's used against artillery, fighter jets, cruise missiles, drones, and more. Militaries also use it to protect their forces. It's an area where Russia was thought to have a clear advantage going into the war. Yet, for unknown reasons, its much-touted electronic warfare prowess was barely seen in the war's early stages and the chaotic failure to seize Ukraine's capital. It's become far more of a factor in the current fierce fighting in eastern Ukraine, where shorter, easier-to-defend supply lines let Russia move electronic warfare gear closer to the battlefield. A Ukrainian intelligence official called the Russian threat pretty severe when it comes to disrupting reconnaissance efforts and commanders' communications with troops. Russian jamming of GPS receivers on drones that Ukraine uses to locate the enemy and direct artillery fire is particularly intense, he said.
This is really bad news. Maybe the European Union nations will find the money to help counter this. They'd better do so quickly.
Russia and Iran have faced heavy sanctions due to the ongoing war in Ukraine. As a result, they have banded together trying to offset these penalties. Tehran and Moscow are working on a deal to trade car parts and fuel turbines for raw metal materials. Russia is currently in dire need of assistance as its military has suffered extreme losses fighting Ukraine. A current fuel shortage there and a failing supply chain are leaving Russian troops stranded. The country has also had significant setbacks with its naval fleet and desperately needs parts to make repairs. The deal will help Iran keep its economy going, as they have difficulty sustaining their metal and mining industries under international sanctions. Russia, on the other hand, will receive support for the ongoing war by restocking on car parts, fuel turbines, and so on. Our State Department declined to comment outside of saying that anyone providing support to Russia or Iran could face additional sanctions. The news of these negotiations comes after Iran announced trade and energy agreements with Russia. They will also work together in other fields, including nuclear energy, banking, transportation, and agriculture.
Well, evil leaders like other evil leaders. That's no surprise. This agreement should help both nations. We'll have to wait and see if it's enough help to make a difference.
Public attention drawn to an announced drag queen reading session for children of U.S. military personnel stationed at Ramstein Air Base in Germany has led to its cancellation. The 86th Airlift Wing had planned the event for the base library until an advertisement was reposted on social media, attracting widespread criticism. The event had been scheduled in honor of the June observance of Pride Month. LGBTQ activists have complained that the cancellation shows the military disrespects transgender people.
The last thing American parents serving in an overseas location with currently increased geopolitical tensions need is to be worried about their children being exposed to sexually charged content at a base library.
And in 2020, when the people of Iran came out in force to protest their government, President Trump on day one sent a message of support for them. Today, as Iranians once again take to the streets to declare their own government, not America, as their enemy, President Biden is still coddling the hardline regime trying to reboot the failed nuclear deal. Protests against the legitimacy of Iran's government continue to sweep across the nation, triggered by a multitude of reasons, including increasing food prices, the collapse of a twin tower apartment building, killing 29 people, and a considerable loathing of the clerical regime. As the demonstrations intensify and spread, our president has stayed on the sidelines and not personally weighed in on the revolts against the clerical regime. Do note that when the Iranian people rioted and Obama was president, we did absolutely nothing then. So there is precedent.
Iran is the world's greatest supporter of terrorism, and they oppress their own people. Why should we even remotely support their tyrannical government and not support their people? This is both insane and evil.
The Biden administration has decided to restart the border wall. The Department of Homeland Security announced that they're going to restart limited border wall construction to close gaps in Arizona. When Biden took office and halted the construction on the wall, there were many gaps left in Arizona. This comes after an entire year of record-breaking border crossings and many calls to fix the problem from both parties. While it's unlikely that Biden will accomplish anything close to what Trump did, 450 miles of fence, at least this might cure some of the chaos. They have agreed to fix 11 out of the dozen of holes in Yuma, Arizona.
Our southern border is a regular invasion coming across it every day, and our federal government is doing virtually nothing to stop it. Our Border Patrol officers spend much of their time processing the illegals so they can stay a while, not stopping the illegal entry. And it's not the patrol officer's fault.
On Memorial Day, the president pushed for more gun control and stricter laws. In speaking to reporters, the president said simply, quote, "The Constitution, the Second Amendment was never absolute," unquote. This sounds like the president is saying not only Second Amendment, but the Constitution as a whole is not written in stone. And this means it's subject to change. This is especially concerning for those of us who feel that the Constitution, thus our personal freedoms, are under fire. On top of this comment, Biden made a few questionable statements that have since been fact-checked by various sources and found to be false. For example, he said you, quote, "couldn't buy a cannon when the Second Amendment was passed," unquote.
Well, I never tried, because I wasn't alive then. Well, we military folks took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The Constitution is a legal document. It says what it says. It doesn't say what it doesn't say. And it includes the Second Amendment, even if your not too bright president doesn't think so. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with General Rod Bishop about the fight against racism and radicalism in our military. At East Troops, take a break. Day 3 Creation is a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products. Our Get Relief, Give Relief program sees that 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing service dogs at no cost to disabled veterans to help restore their physical and emotional independence. Giving is an expression of our thankfulness and praise to God as we recognize that everything we have belongs to the Lord. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S. only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com. Promo code FREEDOM.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Neighborhood Community Watch was established by the National Sheriff's Association back in 1972 in response to the rising crime of the 1960s. You can form your own Neighborhood Crime Watch by logging into www.nnw.org. Above all else, get to know your neighbors and work together as a community. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I eat it and love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check PatriotFoods.com. That's PatriotFoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. The May 24 slaughter of 19 children and two adults at the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, provided some fresh ammunition for the rhetorical and ideological battle over gun control. Combatants in this ongoing war tend to be diehards on the left and right. The former hold that firearms and those who champion constitutional right to bear arms are responsible for such horrific acts of violence. The latter hail the Second Amendment and support the National Rifle Association, which backs the right of law-abiding citizens to defend themselves and their homes. Both groups came out swinging, each from its own political corner, of course, following the horrifying mass murder committed recently by 18-year-old Salvador Ramos. Arguments on each side included the comparisons between his dastardly deed and the December 14, 2012 massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, carried out by killer Adam Lanza. One parallel between the two incidents is that Lanza committed matricide before murdering 20 children and six adults, while Ramos attempted to kill his own grandmother, who's currently hospitalized in critical condition with bullet wounds in her face, prior to his horrible spree. A far more recent mass shooting has been noticeably absent from the gun control debate, however. Indeed, the May 14th slaying of 10 shoppers at a Tops Friendly Market store in Buffalo, New York, aroused a different far-left, far-right fight, one surrounding the systemic racism in America. This was due to the fact that it involved a self-described white supremacist, 18-year-old Peyton Gendon, who had expressed in a lengthy manifesto his intention to eliminate blacks. In contrast, Ramos and his victims were all of Latino origin. One attitude surprisingly shared by Americans across the political spectrum is anger at the Uvalde police for failure to do their job. When the details of the event began to emerge, it was virtually universal disgust in the way the men in blue on the scene behaved, as though they were more afraid for their own safety than for that of the fourth graders in a lockdown classroom and eventually gunned down by Ramos. But the astounding consensus here has only enhanced the controversy over guns, even in the grieving rural Texas town where deer hunting is a prized pastime. While some residents are rethinking their position on the state's lax laws, others are more convinced than ever they need to be at the ready with their own weapons wherever they go. The logic is twofold. On one hand, had Ramos not been able to legally purchase the AR-15 with which he killed the helpless victims, He might have found an illegal way to acquire one, or he could have used a pistol. On the other, the cops, due to poor orders from their commanders, were ineffective, as the state police director, Steve McCraw, recently acknowledged. This brings us now to Israel, where obtaining a gun license is difficult, despite compulsory military service that includes serious training. Even Israelis who are called up regularly to the reserves and are armed for the duration of their stints need to meet many criteria, including a clean bill of mental health, before being permitted to purchase guns for private use. Apparently, one does not need a clean bill of mental health to be armed and in the military there. That's weird. Such limitations are taken for granted in the Jewish state, where, unlike here, a gun license is a privilege, not a right. And extending this allowance too freely has been frowned on by successive governments bent on preventing unnecessary deaths during a volatile situation. The idea, of course, is to leave the taking down of criminals and terrorists to security forces. Okay, in a perfect world, this might make a lot of sense. But we're not in a perfect world, and there isn't any. And in Israel, a country whose citizens are constant targets of jihadist organizations and lone wolves, it hasn't worked out that way either. In March, for instance, it was civilians and off-duty border police who neutralized the Arab Israelis and Palestinians on stabbing, car ramming, and shooting sprees in Beersheba, Hadera, and Bayrak. In light of the circumstances, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett announced that, quote, whoever had a license to carry a weapon, this is the time to carry it, end quote. The spike in this anti-Semitic assault has also spurred the Israeli police to urge the public to volunteer for the Civil Guard, which I think are volunteer police, and led to a steep rise in the number of civilians seeking gun permits. In other words, desperate times call for commensurate measures. Americans with an aversion to firearms, particularly those progressives who have been on a campaign to defund the police, would do well to keep this in mind. They should wake up to the reality that Israelis live with daily. Villains on a mission to spill blood don't need guns. Cars and kitchen knives get the job done too. And baseball bats. We really do need to keep our schools safe. I wonder why teachers and other school employees who wish to do so aren't allowed to be armed. Isn't it obvious that virtually all mass shootings in the U.S. are in gun-free zones? Furthermore, guns in and of themselves aren't the problem. Indeed, in the hands of heroes, they're often the only solution. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. We're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
This weekend, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, attending my good friend Commander John Parsons' retirement from the U.S. Coast Guard, which got me thinking about the customs surrounding military retirements. Recognition of members who are retiring from a career of long, faithful, and honorable service is one of the oldest traditions of the military. Each retiree should leave the service with a tangible expression of appreciation for their contribution to the military, and with the assurance that they'll continue to be a member of the military family even in retirement. Most services require local commanders to have a retirement ceremony for all retiring members and specifically offer a formal ceremony. A typical retirement ceremony can look a lot like a change of command ceremony. Usually the family is escorted to their seats, followed by the military member to be retired and the presiding official. Then the ceremony begins with a posting of the colors. If there's an award to be presented, the audience is asked to stand and a citation of the award is read. This is usually followed by a short speech summarizing the retiring military member's career and their contributions to the service. Then the retirement order is read, followed by a presentation of the retirement certificate, which, if the member served 30 years or more, is signed by the President of the United States. Then what I think is one of the coolest parts of the ceremony, the spouse and the family are asked to come forward. They're usually presented a certificate of appreciation, along with flowers and, of course, lots of photographs. The ceremony wraps up with the retiree making a short speech. Not only is it important to have a great ceremony for the member who is retiring, but it's an opportunity to share the history of what was going on in the service during their career and the part they played in shaping the service over those 20-plus years. Junior military members can learn a ton about their service and can aspire to have their own retirement ceremony. I believe this helps build on the culture and pride we share as members of the U.S. military. So, to my good friend, Commander John Parsons, bravo Zulu on a great military career, and welcome to the Retirees Club. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I enjoyed that. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss racism and radicalism in our military with General Bishop. Then we'll talk about D-Day, the invasion of Europe in World War II. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Start with 40, take a break and do another 30, then stand at ease. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care.
We are leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted.
Our key to success? You.
We bring your voice to leaders calling the shots so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity.
Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome retired Air Force Lieutenant General Rod Bishop. He's the chairman of STARS, which stands for Standing Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services. You know, our military is supposed to be the least political institution in the country. However, recent stand-down orders and recruitment videos and stuff like that show how far leftist politics have affected even the most staunchly apolitical organizations like our military. Indeed, critical race theory and radicalism is largely taking over our armed forces and, to a degree, our schools. So, welcome to the show, General. Glad you could join us.
Thank you so much, Denny, for having us on.
Rod, start by telling us about your military career. When and why did you join? Tell us about some of your favorite assignments.
Joined because, like most people, I wanted to serve and fly, so wanted to go to the Air Force Academy. When I saw the picture of the Air Force Academy chapel in my section on triangles in my geometry book as a sophomore in high school. Best assignments, probably being a squadron commander. You can actually reach out and touch people and make a difference in their lives. And we had a lot of important missions we were doing, but two tours in the Pentagon, both in the ops world, deputy commander of Southern Command, finished up as air commander over in Europe. But that's not what's important. And what's important to me right now and should be important to every American is the job I am in. And that's the chairman of STARS, as you said. And I would say what Ronald Reagan and John Lewis apparently said, if not us, who? And if not now, then when?
Yes, sir. And before we get to serious subjects, you mentioned the chapel at the Air Force Academy. When I was a cadet at West Point, we always wondered whether you were supposed to pray in it, at it, for it, or to it. Because the Air Force Academy chapel is an amazing architecture feature. And I can't pass up the chance to make that comment. Okay, STARS. It's basically dealing with racism and radicalism in the services. You can't have anything without a little bit of racism and radicalism in it, because people have some of that in them, even if they don't let it out much. But we're not talking about anything like normal. We're talking about some really extreme stuff here, aren't we?
Lenny, you could not be more right. I mean, the group was formed three or four grads saw a official video, because it was on an official Academy website put together by the football coaches, during the middle of the 2020 summer riots when Black Lives Matter and Antifa were destroying our cities. Football coaches decide to put together a video that says Black Lives Matter seven times in a militant tone in a 3-minute video. And in that video, they spout what I would consider to be five lies, or trying to guilt America of today for sins of our past. And I knew the superintendent fairly well. He worked for me as a colonel. And so I wrote him a note and said, hey, Jay Silverio was his name. If you want to stand up or have the academy or the football team say they want to raise the bar against racism, let's just say it. But let's not use the slogan of an organization that has told us they're Marxists, who is against the Western nuclear family, who is looking to overthrow capitalism and a whole bunch of other negative anti-American things that they're all about. And to my great surprise, he wrote back and told me I just didn't get it.
And I think the problem was you did get it, huh?
Well, I mean, we certainly got it in both of his reaction, because he refused to take the video down, despite extreme pressure from graduates, despite multi-million dollar donors walking away. And then it just, you know, one thing after another followed, a diversity, including reading room that had only left-wing, far left-wing, according to cadets books in it, the diversity, equity, inclusion training. The extremist training that the Department of Defense made everybody sit down only had four videos, all from 2019, examples of white extremism. Training that went out to appointees that were things that you just kind of shake your head at. But why are we telling appointees that they have to go to a Black Lives Matter rally? I mean, that was the insidious message of that. The One Book, One USAFA Club program, a book issued to every freshman cadet, a book written by an extreme leftist political activist, George Takei, in which the book screams for open borders and demeaned the sitting president. And that's the One Book. And not only that, they build a convocation ceremony around it. And then they invite him to the premier event at the Air Force Academy hosts, their National Character and Leadership Symposium, and make him the speaker, make it mandatory, and they put it in the Clune Arena, the basketball arena, which is the only place that hold the entire cadet wing. So it's just one thing after another, Denny, and you just walk away saying, what the heck is happening?
The same thing is happening at other academies too, isn't it?
Yeah, that was one of the goals we had just over a year ago when we stood up, is, hey, we see these things happening. We had already been affiliated a little bit with the Naval Academy group, who raised $50,000 for the defense of a midshipman who had been kicked out of the Naval Academy for tweeting in support of the police. Both of his parents were L.A. police officers, and during one of the riots, they were home late. He was home on extended leave because of COVID that summer. And he goes on, when his parents finally got home at 2 o'clock in the morning, I think it was, he went on online, like most kids do on social media, and saw all these his classmates and other midshipmen tweeting in favor of Black Lives Matter. And he goes, no, you don't get it. You know, my parents just had their lives at risk, and because they were in the middle of a Black Lives Matter led rally in LA. And believe it or not, the Naval Academy kicked him out of the academy for that.
I remember so that we had event. That was horrible.
Yep. So we assisted, our lawyer assisted hundreds of hours, probably pro bono, on that event. Eventually, the courts found in favor of the midshipman. He was reinstated and is now a pilot. And so we kind of leveraged off of their work and brought him into the work we were doing. And then we got West Point grads involved. I think a friend of yours is Sam Thiessen. We asked Sam to be on our board as a liaison to Army type of issues. And through Sam and others, we've got a great group of patriots stood up at West Point resisting what we all see happening.
And the problem is that the system is taking this approach. It's not that here's some thoughts going on in our nation, and you need to be aware of them. Let's put it in context. It's almost like, here's the truth. It's not like we're teaching you how to think, it's we're teaching you what to think. Am I reading this right? That's how I see it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been asked a number of people, well, are they just teaching, for example, critical race theory as a theory? And I put together last November a document called Where's the Balance? Because in three Zoom meetings with the Air Force Academy superintendent, that's what we've lobbied for. We're not adverse to having cadets exposed to the leftist ideology, but you just can't brainwash them with it every day. You know, as an example of that, Denny, last summer, after Air Force Academy's basic cadet training, I asked a cadet who I had come to know, so how was the training? His comment was, well, you know, it was good in many respects, but if I heard diversity, equity, inclusion one more time, I was going to scream. And he had one of his classmates behind him, and he said, yeah, they kept telling us we need leaders of diversity. And then later in a tailgate party I was hosting, a sophomore came by and asked him what he thought about that. And his comment was, absolutely. And where it manifests itself is in an overpopulation of minorities and women being selected for leadership positions. So it's demotivating to anybody who happens to be a white male.
Wow, that really sounds like the way to put together an effective combat force. Somehow, I think somebody's missed it. There's more to discuss about our military's dealing with racism and radicalism, and General Bishop is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do. Well, many days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Our newest sponsor, FreedomOneCoffee.com, is offering you 15% off your first purchase with the promo code FREEDOM. I urge you to check out this online coffee company today. Not only do they roast your coffee fresh, but they also have the best-looking coffee packaging I've ever seen, all of which was designed by a proud Marine veteran. Their website is easy to use, and they have options you cannot find anywhere else, including bourbon and Cabernet barrel-aged coffees at FreedomOneCoffee.com. This coffee is for the hardworking, freedom-loving American like you. The company is owned by a hardworking Army officer and his wife. Their coffee is flying off the shelves everywhere they retail it. So again, I urge you to visit FreedomOneCoffee.com and enter the promo code FREEDOM at checkout for 15% off this amazing product owned by an amazing soldier. Freedom, the number one, coffee.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General Rod Bishop, the chairman of STARS. STARS, which stands for Standing Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services. Rod, in my 22 years on active duty, now I've been retired almost 40 years, I saw occasional instances of racism and radicalism, but it was rare. People got promoted based on their ability, and we thought our mission was to be combat ready. We thought the purpose of our military was to kill people and break things, and we had to do it well, and we had to be good as a team, and we had to be able to work together. That's still supposed to be the reason we have our military, isn't it?
Absolutely, Denny. You know, along those lines, I asked a retired four-star friend of mine. Between the two of us, we had 8 years of service. I asked him how many racial incidences he had seen, and he had none. I had one, and I quickly squashed it as soon as I saw it. But this overemphasis on it is creating division. I mean, talk to just about anybody you'd meet, even black cadets and airmen, soldiers, Marines. They'll tell you, yeah, it's demeaning to me as a minority, black people will tell you. I just want to have an equal platform. But all of the training that goes on, what I hear mostly from cadets and airmen that I know is we just keep our heads down throughout the training. And it's little more than a platform for leftist ideology to be drilled into our heads.
Well, if in fact the majority of them see that's what it is, that's cool. But there's got to be a significant number of them who are taking this as the gospel.
Well, yes, sir. There is no doubt that that is the case. When I was a cadet back in the early 70s, I would have put the conservative versus liberal 90-10. Cadets tell me today it's more like 50-50, and they don't really call them liberals. They know the new vernacular. You know, these neo-Marxists, that's how a lot of the conservative cadets see it. So that in and of it by itself is divisive.
And how does this contribute to a combat-ready military?
Well, it certainly doesn't. We say all this is identity politics on steroids. And as anybody who has read Clausewitz knows, the moral factor is three times as great as the physical factor. Unit cohesiveness is critical in providing combat power. People are the key. And what we're doing is we're dividing them into little pockets and making them feel different.
And how does that build team? I mean, that's one, I'm opposed to racism and radicalism anyway. But when you talk about the military, these people have volunteered to sacrifice their lives for the defense of this country. And you're doing that to them. You're breaking them down. You're keeping them from becoming unified by sharing stuff that half of them know is BS and lies. So they don't trust their leadership. And the other half are buying into it. Yuck.
Yeah, again, exactly right. I mean, in your 22 years, you said you never saw much. I mean, I only saw one incident in 34. I've flown into combat zones probably 100 times. I never cared if my co-pilot or my engineer, my loadmaster was yellow, white, black, you know, just as long as they were doing the job. But all this emphasis on diversity, which unfortunately comes across as color of skin. I mean, yeah, there's diversity of thought, but that's not how it comes across most times. Again, it's just divisive and it doesn't do what it should be doing, and that's making us a unified force. Superintendent of the Academy always says, diversity is our greatest strength. And I always tell him every time I hear it, no, General, unity is our greatest strength. And that unity is made all the more greater because we are a very diverse nation.
It is. And we can go back historically all we want to, but certainly in 48, when President Truman integrated the armed forces, in the early 60s, when we've come a long way since then. Our whole nation has. Our military led the way. If I made a list of all of the finest soldiers I ever worked with, I'd have to think about what race they were. Just they were different races, but I evaluated them as men, as soldiers, as patriots. And the best one I ever had was a first sergeant who trained me. He was a black man, and we remained friends until the day he died. It wasn't because he was black. It was because we were brothers. We were together in things.
Yeah, we should be all brothers in arms, and we all bleed red or Army green or Air Force blue or Navy blue. But, you know, the emphasis being put upon our military is having its intended effect. Its intended effect, if you trace back critical race theory, back to critical theory, and back to Marxism. I mean, the lines are extremely clear. And the manifestation of this tyrannical type of way of ruling, I guess I would express it, is shown very clearly in these vaccine mandates that we're putting out today. There's really no reason. They're stepping on First Amendment religious freedom rights. There's no common sense applied to potential medical safety issues, and the legality of the order is probably illegal. So you add all those things together, and then you add in the what I would call inhumane coercion. We have so many examples of that today. It's just inhumane, the things that the military has done to get people to put a shot in the arm, a shot that was made for the Alpha 1 variant, and here we are four mutations later, that doesn't do much good, doesn't last very long against any variant that's alive today. And it's just as one friend of mine called me, you know, the ultimate loyalty oath. That's that. And he's still serving. That's the only reason. That's the only possible reason for this. It's not for protection of the force. Nobody's been able to convince me, even come close to convincing me, that's for the protection of the force.
No, I agree with you. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. And we're talking with General Bishop about how our military is responding to this crazy orientation it's getting. You know, the shot thing is just insane. And they say, well, it's just a shot. They're supposed to get shots for other stuff, too. It's not just a shot. This is a political issue, totally, in my opinion. And you apparently see it that way, too.
Well, I'd qualify that just a tad. I mean, we have very good doctors advising STARS. And what the guy I go to the most on is says, yeah, it did have a benefit for elderly people. What DOD is missing is looking at the age gradient, and they're stuck back in January of 2021 or the summer of 2020, and things have changed so much. I mean, we know so much more now, and DOD is not applying that knowledge to their insistence on exercising the mandate.
Well, I understand, but my wife got COVID over a year ago. I didn't have the shot. She didn't either. I took care of her. I didn't get it. A year ago, I turned 80, and coming to pressure to families and friends, I got the shot. Then I got COVID in November. So you can find exceptions to everything. But the point is, we're not honoring people's right to stand on their religious faith. And I'm just annoyed at the whole shot and the mask thing. That to me is, a mask is just a filter. You put it on your face. Well, when you take it off, you touch the outside, which means you take all the crap off the filter, and then you touch your face and your food. So this is not something that's been thought out.
No, and let me go back to the shot issue. I mean, where this will really impact, that I think America will be surprised at, is what I read this past week. There's 28 lawsuits, at least 28 across the United States that military members are part of. I believe there's one that I know of for sure that has, I was told by someone who's in the lawsuit, approaching 1,000 people, at least 357, maybe as many as 600 pilots in that lawsuit. I mean, this is a huge, huge loss, which we stand to experience from the ranks of our military. So STARS has taken it up as an initiative for us to help these people. And so if your audience wants to help, I mean, the people that are serving, they've got the money, $5,000 for one lawsuit that we've been helping people on or with. But some of the cadets, I mean, there were 16 cadets at the Air Force Academy, a similar number at West Point. They don't have the $5,000. So we're trying to raise money to help them out and get them over the hump, so to speak, so they can join in these lawsuits, which are the one that we're involved with is being run by the guy who overturned the anthrax mandate. So come to STARS, that's STARS.us, and click on our donate button. You can see right there, you can help them out. And that's what the money is going to go to, is for their litigation help. In fact, I have a Zoom today with the president of the Truth for Health organization. And we're going to work out some details on how we can transfer this money around and help just as many of these young men and women who are standing on their religious freedom rights and refuse to have them overturned by an illegal order, and see what we can do to help them all out.
I wish we had some more time. We're about out of time. But stars.us, STARRS.us, right, Rod?
That's perfect, Denny.
And what can you do? We can help financially. You can contact your congressman and let them know that you don't support this stuff and you don't want them to. We got to do it. It's our country. Rod, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform. But thank you for what you're doing now. We have to stay in touch.
Thanks, Danny. Sure will. I mean, this is the most important mission of my life, no doubt.
Yes, sir. Okay, this concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with author Mark Hagar about World War II vet Harold Frank, who was present at D-Day, the invasion of Europe in World War II. Then we'll discuss the Combat Control Foundation with Mike LaMonica. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and Armed America Report. Troops, I'm not fond of pain. I absolutely won't use addicting products. That's why I can recommend Day 3 Creation products if you're in pain. Use the code FREEDOM when you order at day3creation.com and save 20%. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for Jumpin' Jacks. Do 50 good ones. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.